Some of Tuesday's victims knew they'd end up dead. One even asked for it, because she had to get to work and didn't want to wait around for treatment. Others knew only what their wounds were, and the hospital later would determine whether they were injured enough to pronounce dead. As each of the victims finished in the makeup chair, they took photos of their gory wounds to post on Facebook. Joanna Axelson says she and other victims were given scripts detailing their injuries and how they should act. She says they were told to not laugh, and then she laughed.
But if I'm sitting in a room by myself and somebody bursts in shoes, I think it'll be easy to be in character.
Tell me some of the stuff on the script.
I'm unable to get up, and I have to guard the injured area with my hands and drift in and out of consciousness.
Axelson says she'll improv the rest. There were two shooters. The first, police dispatcher Kyle Bailey, paced the hallway before the exercise. He says he happily volunteered for the role.
Basically, I just approached the chief and I said, do you need an act? You know, if you need a bad guy, I'd be happy to do it.
Bailey says he loves paintball and it was a great chance to use paintball equipment that's available only to law enforcement. He says he wasn't given much in the way of detailed stage direction, but he knew he was to stay in a certain area.
And after that, it's up to me as the shooter to just shoot.
The other shooter was Jason Alderson, the City of Ketchikan's safety coordinator. The victims were arranged throughout the building on plastic sheeting to protect the carpet and furniture from all the fake blood. Then Alderson came through the front door, shot two people in reception, and moved into the building. More shots were heard, along with screams and calls for help. A few minutes later, police officers in full gear showed up and carefully made their way into the building, reporting victims as they searched for the shooter. Police contained Bailey first. Alderson ended up with a hostage in a standoff with police. It ended badly for the bad guy. As soon as the mock threat was over, a wave of emergency medical responders swooped in to collect the victims and take them to the hospital for treatment. Jared Hoover, a UAS employee, enjoyed his role as he waited for EMTs to help with his gaping leg wound.
Oh, gosh. I'll feel every bit of this.
Oh. Are you having fun?
This is pretty cool, that's for sure. I definitely say this is an awesome experience. Yeah, I can't believe the wound they gave me, though. I mean, Jesus, my freaking bone's poking out and everything.
Joe White of the Ketchikan Police Department says the drill was as real as organizers could make it.
Our officers did not know, they kind of know the layout of the building, but they did not know how many people were involved, how many students were going to be inside, how many participants were going to be inside. Basically, it was like a real event for them.
Rick Forkel, UA Emergency Management Director, coordinated the exercise, which provided emergency response practice for university staff as well as the police and fire department. As a victim continues to cry in the background, he says the true number of mock fatalities is not yet known.
At the start of the exercise, we had 13 victims and two dead on arrival. And we'll let the scenario play itself out and we'll see what the final number is. And I can't even tell you that now, and I could certainly, if it was a real-world situation, it would take time. Aurora, it took 18 to 24 hours to 100% identify everybody. So that's just to give you an example.
A mock news conference set for Wednesday morning should provide the totals and give officials valuable practice dealing with the media. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.